Good to see you guys. So how are you doing? Yeah, you get a little stumped by that question sometimes. I've actually been asking that question intentionally this past week and have been noting how people have responded. A little bit of an informal survey, if you will. And these are the results I have gotten from this week of asking people, how are you doing? About a quarter of the people that I've asked that question didn't respond. They didn't even acknowledge that I asked a question. Like words exited my mouth. There was no response. One quarter. About half of the people, as you would guess, said good, fine, okay, pretty good. That, you know, your standard four-letter answer, you know, good, fine, that kind of thing. Some might say it sarcastically, like living the dream. You've heard that one. But really, that's they're not being honest with you. And then about a quarter of the people answered it with some substance. And I was actually surprised. They would say frazzled and explain their difficult day or week or night or something like that. They would give a response that actually had some substance to it. And I just find this interesting because I was thinking to myself, what if we actually took that question seriously? What if we actually answered the question, how are you doing, sincerely? What would that do for our own emotional health, where we would understand just how are we doing emotionally, personally? How am I doing? Sometimes we don't even know. And what would that do for our fellowship? How would that change the level of authenticity in our church, in our fellowship with one another? How would that affect our relationships if we answered the question, how are you doing, seriously? How would that change things? It would be interesting to find out. What we're going to do this morning is I'm going to introduce you to a process that we do at Edge Venture. It is the most teaching-oriented process that there is, but even there's not as much as one might expect. And in this four core emotions teaching process, you will be forced to face not just your four core emotions, but what you do, what you have learned over the course of your life to keep yourself from feeling them and experiencing them as God intended. So I am going to pray, and then four men will model the four core emotions. It will be different, and it will be real. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you, God, that when you created us, you knew what you were doing. And you made us the way we are on purpose. With our minds, with our emotions, with our bodies, you knew full well what you were creating when you created not just humanity in general, but us specifically. And it was good. It was very good. But God's sin and the world and our flesh have screwed it up. And now we can no longer experience our created intentional design the way we were meant to. We won't want to just throw in the towel on this one, God. With the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his resurrection from the grave, things can be different. We can be whole again. And I pray, God, that with wisdom and truth, you would lead us to that. In Jesus' name. Friends, these are my four core emotions: anger, fear, sadness, and joy. These emotions are at the core of everything I experience. They are my barometer and my guide to help me understand and respond to the world around me. The word emotion comes from Latin, where E means out of and motion denotes movement. My emotions are how I move out of myself and respond to the world around me. Emotions are made up of thoughts in my mind, sensations in my body, and impulses in both my mind and body. For some of you, even talking about emotions might be uncomfortable. In many cases, it has been modeled or taught to many that emotions are bad, that a mature person doesn't lose control or demonstrate or show off their emotions, that to express emotion is a sign of weakness. But God created our emotions. They are a gift from Him and connect us to His heart. All people, men and women, are created to feel. Our Savior feels. And we will look at that in a bit. My emotions were given to me so I can fully experience the life I have been given. When I am cut off from how I feel, I restrict or eliminate my ability to be truly alive. My emotions stir me up, move me out of myself, reveal truth to me, teach me, heal me, and deepen my character. Joy is at the very center of my emotions. Joy is my sense of well-being, that I am whole and complete. I have worth. Joy is my awareness that I am deeply loved and significant. Joy is where I want to be. And joy is what I was made for. Joy is our only destination emotion. Unlike fear and anger and sadness, which are only meant as temporary stops, we are created to live in joy. God has given us a perfect model of a man who experienced emotions in his son, Jesus. Jesus expressed and modeled joy in his relationships, first and foremost with his Father in heaven as his beloved son. Jesus modeled joy to his disciples in his constant fellowship with them and their deepening friendship. Jesus modeled joy in his interactions with human beings and where they are at, even in their trials and struggles in life and in the journey that he had ahead of him and ahead of them. Scripture even tells us that Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame for the joy set before him. In John 15, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Yet I also have fear. My fear is an emotion of impending danger. It is a warning and a call to assess my situation. My fear prompts me to take action, either to fight, flee, or freeze. Healthy fear is a protective emotion. Jesus expressed and modeled fear for us. It is recorded that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus sweat blood from fear and anguish over his impending crucifixion. This medical phenomenon, which has been documented in modern times, is called hemohidrosis. On rare occasions, when the level of stress hormones is so high, the sweat glands can be pushed to exhaustion. This causes them to constrict so severely that they begin to bleed into the skin. Jesus experienced intense fear related to the enormity of the pain he was about to endure physically, in his body, emotionally in himself, and relationally with his Father in heaven, leading him to cry out, "Father, take this cup from me." But I also have anger. Anger is a boundary setting emotion. Anger is a warning to me that something must stop. My anger is a call for me to realize that a boundary has been violated. It prompts me to action, to access the power I have within me to establish or reestablish a boundary. Righteous anger is the foundation of justice. Jesus expressed and modeled anger for us. It is recorded that upon finding the temple courts filled with merchants and moneylenders, Jesus became angry. His anger was a strong emotional reaction that something needed to stop, to reestablish a boundary that had been violated. Jesus knew that the temple had been established by his Father as a place for connection and comfort for his children, not a house of commerce and chaos. In his anger, Jesus carefully fashioned a whip made of cords as he slowly walked through the temple. He took care, despite his anger, to release the doves and get them out of harm's way. His anger motivated his passionate and dramatic action of correction and restoration. But I also have sadness. My sadness calls me to recognize that I have lost something significant. My sadness is an invitation to grieve, to do the difficult work of bringing my loss into the light so that I can encompass it to take the loss in and allow it to settle within me. My sadness invites me to experience the fruit of healthy grief, to grow in compassion for myself and others, to enlarge my character and enrich my soul. Jesus experienced and modeled sadness for us in his response to the death of his good friend Lazarus. Jesus acutely experienced Lazarus' sister's loss. He experienced the grief of his deep understanding at how death tears relationships apart in a way that we were not made for. This was not our original design. And he wept. These are my four core emotions. They are very important. They are an essential part of me. They are a window to my heart and soul, and they are in relationship to one another. Thank you, man. Go ahead. But what if my fear is too scary, too terrifying? What if my anger makes me uncomfortable or makes me feel guilt and shuts me down? What if my sadness is overwhelming or seems to be a sign of weakness? What if my core emotions are too painful to bear? What if, as a child, I was taught that my emotions were wrong or bad? What if I was later taught that they were even unchristian? What if I learned to restrain, stuff, hide, and deny my feelings and emotions? What if, in order to cope, I found other feelings that are less potent, less painful? We can develop counter or covering emotions, and they are indeed counterfeit emotions. For what I am going to share next, if you can identify with what I'm talking about, please raise your hand if you are courageous enough to do so. Otherwise, in your heart and mind, you can just say, "That's me." What if sadness becomes your destination instead of joy? What if sadness becomes a destination? Instead of listening and responding to my sadness, I withdraw into depression. Any of you experience depression? Please raise your hand. Thank you for your honesty. Depression mutes all of my emotions and causes me to disconnect from the world around me. Hopelessness. The sense that nothing will ever improve or get better. I'm stuck here for life. Any of you experience hopelessness? It's better to just give up. Or what if anger becomes a destination? Instead of listening to it and taking appropriate action, I choose rage. Any of you identify with experiencing rage? Thank you for your honesty. anger coming up out of you, uncontrollably hurting people or things you are not angry at. We call that anger sideways anger because it comes out all sides and hurts things we don't intend, often missing the real target. Bitterness. I think bitterness protects me because it tells me that I am going to avoid and judge you before you can hurt me. Anyone identify with bitterness? Thank you for your honesty. What if fear? What if fear becomes a destination? And instead of assessing the danger, I withdraw into anxiety or panic. Panic is a fear so uncontrollable, it locks me up, and I am unable to act or think or perceive clearly what is going on. What if instead of authentic joy, I live in a state of superiority? I judge myself as better than others and feel contempt for them. I would struggle with that. Or I live in a state of shame with contempt for myself. Anyone identify with shame? Been a huge part of my life as well. I now find that my core emotions are hidden. They're surrounded, covered over by my counter emotions. These came into play to protect me from the emotional pain of dealing with my authentic emotions. But they seem to be creating a whole different set of problems all on their own. And I really don't like these ones either. I need some relief. I need comfort. I need to get away from these emotions. I need to numb myself. To protect myself even more, I turn to defense mechanisms or coping mechanisms. For these behaviors, the whole purpose is to bring relief from the pain in my life. I do not ask that you raise your hand for me unless you want to. But in your heart, you can say, yeah, that's me. Some of our coping mechanisms are particularly ugly. We'll start with the safe. Being a nice Christian man. What if I immerse myself in church and religion so that people can't see my pain? Anyone here deal with that? Nice Christian man. Sarcasm. My razor-sharp wit and negativity will protect me from people getting too close. Workaholism. Instead of dealing with real life, I will immerse myself in work to stay too busy to feel. Being a poser. Instead of letting people see the real me, which they might reject, I'll blend in and match whomever I'm with. Appreciate your honesty. Sports. I will lose entire evenings and weekends to games, team statistics, and jerseys so I don't have to think about my real life. Substance abuse, alcohol, and drug abuse. I will bury myself in the bottle and smoke some weed and numb my mind from the reality of how I feel. Masturbation. It's easier to be alone and by myself experience momentary pleasure than to engage in relationships in a real and authentic way. Being a savior, I can sacrifice my own needs and my responsibilities to help others. Thank you for your honesty. And be able to ignore my own problems in the process of helping people deal with theirs. This one has shown up in my life quite a bit. Being a tough guy, scaring everyone around me by projecting that I'm invincible, that I'm untouchable, and can take on anything, so don't mess with me. Perfectionism. If I meticulously control all aspects of my life and appearance, you won't be able to see the pain under the surface. This one has played out in my life. People pleasing. Instead of risking that you won't like me, I will do things your way. Pornography. I can experience intimacy vicariously through others instead of taking the risks of real intimacy. I can't count the hours that Americans have lost to pornography. Being dramatic, I will overplay everything going on in my life, making you walk on eggshells to satisfy my needs. Playing the victim. Woe is me. Look at my problems. Let me tell you all about them. And I will draw everyone down into my sadness. Video games. I can create an entire virtual existence and escape from life. Thank you for your honesty. Sexual addiction. I can believe that I am incapable of real intimacy and so seek out temporary hookups to feel connection. Indecision. Instead of facing the results of my choices, good or bad, I will remain indecisive and take a stand on nothing. What is going on here? This situation is intolerable. I can't feel, much less even see, my core emotions. I haven't relieved my pain at all. I've trapped myself within even more scar tissue. My counter emotions and defense mechanisms that I hoped would protect me have actually trapped me. Only with the help of Jesus and those he places around me in my life, my brothers and sisters, I can begin to take steps needed to go after these counterfeit escapes and these feelings and to deal with them. I can begin the hard work to let go of these counterfeit emotions and these coping mechanisms. Just imagine what your life would be like if instead of being indecisive, I can start with small decisions and get to feel the satisfaction of making a good choice. Instead of indulging in unlimited sex and false connection, I can invest my time building genuine intimacy with my Savior and with my friends. I can engage with my friends and my family instead of my video games, creating real experiences in God's creation instead of losing myself in a fake reality. Maybe I can take responsibility for my role in my situation and get help instead of playing the victim card. Instead of creating drama everywhere I go, I can take a deep breath and share my real stress and fears with those whom I trust. I can avoid false intimacy from porn. I can begin to seek and pray for a deep and genuine relationship. What if instead of pleasing others, what if instead of doing that, I admit what I need and take steps to get it? Instead of faking perfectionism, I can accept the fact that I'm imperfect and lean on Jesus to fill the gap. I don't have to be the tough guy because I can acknowledge my need for others and lean on them. I can let go and entrust others to Jesus instead of trying to be everyone's savior. I can engage authentically with friends to experience true relationship instead of turning to masturbation. What if instead of numbing myself with substances, I can engage my real pain and feel it in all of its intensity and share it with others? I don't have to lose myself in sports. I can build lasting memories with those important to me, whether watching a game or not. Instead of being someone that I'm not, I can take the hard risk of being me and trust God to bring friends who accept me. I can set boundaries with my time so those I love are protected and nurtured instead of being a workaholic. What will happen if I speak with authenticity and honesty instead of sarcasm? I don't have to wear the nice Christian mask. I can get real with my wounding and trust others to love me in spite of it. I can release my shame to Jesus, who makes me complete. I don't have to judge others in superiority. I can acknowledge my weakness and practice humility. I can listen to my fear and identify the real danger instead of being frozen in panic or anxiety. Instead of holding on to bitterness and expressing rage, I can access my healthy power to stop something or establish a boundary. Instead of sinking into depression or hopelessness, I can feel my genuine sadness and grieve my loss, trusting Jesus to meet my needs. Now that would be the hard work that's needed to break the chains of our pain and our numbness, our escaping. And once we have done that hard work, we can address and see and feel our four core emotions once again. The risk now is that we need to face them and listen to them. They each have something to tell us about what is going on inside of us and what to do about it. When we are afraid, fear, we must evaluate the impending danger and decide what a godly response would be. When we're angry, we must identify what line has been crossed and what needs to be done to establish or reestablish a boundary. When we're sad, we must recognize what has been lost and give ourselves permission to mourn. And then I can experience joy again, my destination emotion, the place I was created to be. A wise man once said, emotions make great sail. They are terrible anchors. So we need to listen to our emotions. They are trying to tell you something. But don't be quick to obey them. Obey Jesus. Jesus is here, and so are your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all here to help you listen to your emotions. Figure out what they're trying to say about the condition of your heart and your mind, and then respond as God would have you respond. At Lifehouse Church, we hope to give you a taste of what living life from your four core emotions looks like. And in so doing, break the chains of counter emotions and coping mechanisms that have been holding you captive for far too long. One practical way to do that is by responding to the question, how are you doing with authenticity? By thinking about your four core emotions, anger, sadness, fear, and joy, and answering the question by saying, I'm feeling joy right now, or happiness, or excitement, whatever word would fit. Did you say, I'm feeling joy right now? Because last weekend, I was at Edge Venture, and one of my best friends experienced a deep healing, a giant that had been holding him captive for 36 years was slain in his life. And for that, I have joy. What if somebody asks you that question and you think through your four core emotions and you feel fear, or you feel anger, or you feel sadness? What do you do then? You do need to assess your situation. Not all relationships are safe. But it is Bob's and my intention that Lifehouse Church would be a safe place for you to feel. It is our goal. It is our desire, and we pray for it regularly. What if you are on the receiving end and somebody says, I'm dealing with anger right now, been struggling with my roommate. He's been really pissing me off, and it hurts. He's on my case. He's like on my back all the time. What do you do then? Don't try to fix it. Not right then, not right there. That's not the time for it. One thing you could say is simply, thank you for your honesty. Give him a hug for her. And then if action needs to be taken, that will become clear to you. But initially, we just need to let them know that this is a safe place to feel. It's a safe place to be authentic and honest and open. And begin to eliminate those coping mechanisms and those counterfeit emotions that are ruining our lives. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this is like almost like the easy part. Knowing this is huge. I mean, for me, for so many of my brothers who went to Edge Venture, this is like mind-blowing. Why hasn't anyone ever told us this before? And you can even get mad I've been violated. I've never been told about these core emotions in my being and how I'm actually whole when I'm healing them and releasing them. Well, we know it now. Thank you, God, for your wisdom and your truth. Thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus, who modeled these four core emotions, has given us an example of a life to follow. And so now, Lord, the hard part is following it. The hard part is dealing with those coping mechanisms, those counterfeit emotions. Knowing that they're there is only half the battle. How do we get rid of them, God? How do we get rid of them? Lord, I know that even you said that some things can only come out with prayer and fasting. It's going to take work. It's going to be tough. And I pray, God, that each and every one of us would just say, you know something? You know something? I am not going to live a prisoner to these coping mechanisms and these counterfeit emotions in my life anymore. I'm not going to be their prisoner. I'm not going to let them rob me of the life that Jesus died on the cross to give me. And that we would just commit to the hard work of exposing and releasing those counterfeit emotions and those coping mechanisms so we can feel the way you intended us to feel. And so we can have authentic relationships with one another the way you intended us to have. So help us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.